I have a caller from Alabama. Rod in Alabama, are you there? What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm here. I have a question about, and I know you've moved on, but I was trying to call earlier and then I had company, is that about Hatteras Island, I don't understand what are your representatives doing about this, because I cannot assume that I would be, have no way to get on or off the island. I mean, what are your, what are their representatives saying there in North Carolina?
That is a good question, and I don't mind if, you know, if I got off onto another topic or whatever. It's, you know, basically all the actual elected representatives on the state level and the local level and the federal level all want to reopen the beaches, build the bridge, build the road. That's not the problem. And usually, and I, you know, I'm not a fan of government, but they are not the issue. They all want to replace the bridge. It's in their own interest. That's a lot of revenue for the state. They don't want to cut off an island either. But it's these environmental groups that are suing, who have a lot of power from out of state and a lot of supporters that just sort of unquestioningly send them money. If you really look at some of the supporters for the Audubon Society and Southern Environmental Law Center, they're getting money from Toyota and Ford and these big auto manufacturers. And then you see that these same environmental groups are the ones opposing wind turbines on the pretext that it hurts the bats and the birds or whatever. So you look at who they're really getting their sponsorship from and their major donors, and that they're opposing alternative energy and, you know, harming beaches. And they don't give a damn about the environment. But that's the real problem. The elected representatives are tearing their hair out about it. But a lot of people in government are incompetent. And it took a lot to reach the state representatives. The county commission in Cape Hatteras Island, you know, 5 out of the 6 live on the other side of the bridge and kind of drug their feet about it. And they make a nice story saying how they want to help the island, but they've done a lot of disastrous things themselves. However, I don't think they're benevolent as much as they are just incompetent. They're not the brightest crayons in the box. But to save face, they just blame everything on each other. Everybody's pointing fingers. But the senators are there. They're having meetings with the people in Cape Hatteras Island, and they have reopened the bridge yesterday. However, it won't be long before it's closed again. I mean, they put more sand underneath it, but it's still rated a 2 out of 100. And they're going to have to build a new bridge. And I don't see a way around it other than just telling these environmental groups to stick it and build the bridge and let them sue them, because they're not really harming the environment.
Well, my question is, and I'll hang up because I know you're busy, is that whose pocketbook has to be hit before something is done, before a new road is built? Whose pocketbook?
I would say,
obviously it isn't your politicians, because they feel their hands are tied, right?
Well, they do. See, right now they do, but they kind of have to, because there's so much of an outcry that of, you know, not only people live in Cape Hatteras, but the rest of North Carolina. I mean, the rest, who in the world would want people isolated without a bridge where they can't get on and off an island? I mean, nobody can openly support that. And if the politicians didn't get up and support the people of Hatteras, it would be absolute political suicide. But where were they, you know, last year, the year before that, the year before that? They made a lot of talk, like Obama, but they not a lot of actions. So I don't know how sincere they really are. I
so
think
what is left
the pocketbook
for the people of Hatteras to do? I mean, what do you think is their option? I mean,
well,
what
I think,
they do besides
yeah,
the
I mean,
form?
I think... Well, they need like independent media sites like what I'm doing now to tell the story so that more people outside of Hatteras can get involved, because unfortunately only having 5,000 or 6,000 people is just not enough. I mean, there are more listeners right now on this show than live on the entire island of Hatteras. They just aren't, there's not enough voice there for people to listen to them. And so I'm hoping people that also live in different cities in North Carolina or other states or Canada or whatever can help put the pressure on, just because it's the right thing to do. The same reason I talk about Iraq and Palestine and Yemen and other areas that I'm never probably going to visit, and I don't know any of those people, but I give them a voice anyway, because I hate injustice, and this happens to be right where I used to live. I'm from Cape Hatteras Island. I lived there for 15 years. Before I moved, and these people desperately need our help, and we need to also call our Congress and put more pressure, and don't ever, ever give money to these environmental groups like the Southern Environmental Law Center or any of these groups. They have been in bed with the government. There's a long history there where when they were taking land from American Indians, when it was no longer acceptable in the world community to just ride up and kill them or kill the buffalo or salt the land, that the new method from Teddy Roosevelt on was to use scientific and environmental pretexts to steal land. That's the whole long Agenda 21 plan. And that's the thing. People have to realize that these groups really don't represent the environment at all. These are just predatory lawyers. So cut their pocketbook off, and don't be raging, but politely call the representatives and say that you support Cape Hatteras and that a bridge needs to be built immediately. I think that's the best course.
There's an old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So you have to keep talking. You have to.
Yeah, you have to. And the thing is, it's always some little area. This happened in Sandy Hook, New Jersey as well. And then, of course, I got overshadowed by another event there. But they attacked them, too, and took their beach away. And they're always picking on one group, and it's one at a time. And it's very hard for everybody to unify. But now with the Internet, we do have the ability to say no, because if it can happen there, it can happen here later. And, you know, as Martin Luther King said, you know, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. And we have to stand together for the people of Hatteras Island, for the people of Palestine, for wherever people are being oppressed, having their land taken away. This is basic theft. So please, regardless of where you live, you can go to congress.org, put in your zip code, and talk to your federal representatives. You can also look up the numbers for the politicians in Raleigh and North Carolina and let them know what you think, you know, especially if you vacation there, because there are millions of people who vacation to these islands. And the island below Hatteras as well, Ocracoke, is also suffering from this, I would mention. And they're even smaller and have less of a voice. And unfortunately, they're in separate counties. That's the where they sort of gerrymandered the counties to keep the islands apart so they couldn't have a unified voice.
Well, thank you very much, Ryan. You have a nice day.
You too, and thank you for your call. We have another caller, Phil, in Florida. Thanks for holding on for a long time. I'm sorry.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi there.
Hi, glad you're on today. I wanted to talk about the drones. And,
sure.
You know, and the left cover that's allowed all this to happen over the last 5 years. I'm with a Veterans for Peace chapter here in Central Florida, and I've been with Veterans for Peace since 2005, you know, during the Bush years. In fact, what got me to become aware of them and join up was their leading the charge there for impeaching Bush and for the illegal wars and invasions, you know, and they're citing the Constitution and all that. And I said, wow, these guys are really stepping up and taking it on. And then Obama got in, you know, and third day in office, he sent drones into Pakistan, killed a couple few dozen people, including three little kids. And one of our members wrote a piece, I'd like to mention it. It's called Impeach Obama, and it's on the globalresearch.ca website. If you just go there and type in Impeach Obama by Tom Santoni. And
I've interviewed several people from Global Research.
Oh, yeah.
I highly recommend that as a daily site, really.
Yes. But the point is, it forced us to bring up the issue in our chapter, and we presented the resolution to the Veterans for Peace in 2009 to do what it did for the same crimes when it was the Republican doing it.
Oh, and, but, you know, Brand Obama's got a different banner and a D next to his name, so it's completely different.
Well, we've been waging
He's on the blue team.
Exactly. But you know, I believe we have to fight these fights, Ryan. And a lot of our members, a lot of people in Veterans for Peace that were truly peace before
Can you hold on just through one break? The music's coming. Just I want to get to that point, so just hold on through one more commercial. I'm laughing at the bump music. This is Ryan Dawson subbing for Mike Rivero, and I'm talking to Phil in Florida for Veterans for Peace. Please continue what you were saying before the break.
Thanks, Ryan. And I don't want to just talk about criticizing the left, and we have to do that and expose the misleadership, but I also want to talk about what we can do
to be fair, the right will do the same thing. Like if Obama got elected first and then Bush got elected afterward, it would be the same.
I mean, each side rediscovers the Constitution once the other guy gets in, you know, if you watch it long enough. But we're talking about millions of people being killed and maimed and displaced, so it really is serious. We came up with the slogan, Ryan, war crimes are war crimes, prosecute Bush and impeach Obama. You know, we actually have bumper stickers made and everything, brought it to the attention of Veterans for Peace, National, Code Pink, World Can't Wait, After DowningStreet.org, all the ones who were leading the charge.
All the ones on the ADL's list this year of anti-Semitic organizations.
For what organizations?
ADL, they call them anti-Semitic. Anybody that's anti-war, they just call anti-Semitic.
Wow, if those guys made the ADL, oh my God, we're in trouble.
I had a whole two-page report on myself.
I believe that. Well, your work.
That's my 9/11 film, which I'm not going to explain because I don't have many hours to get into.
Ask you that before the next caller is how I can order a copy of your updated War by Deception, and I believe you made another film following that.
Oh, yeah, Decades of Deception, and that goes over 60 years of mostly the CIA's debauchery, but also MI6 and the Mossad. And basically, that I started with the Korean War in 1950, and I went on to about 2010, and I got into JFK, and a lot of scandalous things and covert operations that these intelligence agencies have done, and anybody that's in denial of conspiracy needs to look at some of the major ones. And I mean, Iran-Contra's in there, Operation Washtub, Operation Ajax, the Suez Crisis. I mean, it's just almost every year
there was
some deception, one after the other. And I did it as a timeline, and that film's only an hour long. It's digestible.
And are we able to order it from you?
Sure.
I know you're in Japan.
There's like a lower quality free version on YouTube. Just write Decades of Deception. It should come up. You can watch it free. If you'd like to order it, which I'd rather you order it. You can go to ancreport.com and click
Alpha
on store.
November Charlie.
It's like anti-neocons, ANC.
ANC. Okay.
Report.com and click on store, and you can order Decades
of
Deception.
Great, I'll go there. But speaking of timeline, I wrote a piece that out before this year's Veterans for Peace convention called Timeline to Veterans for Peace's Vote to Impeach Obama, 2009 through 2013. You see, we didn't just back down. We kept the issue pushing it, and the resolution passed finally at the 2011 convention, and the national leadership just has kept the lid on it, you know. And so this year we submitted a resolution that would force the national leadership to send an official letter to Congress, like they did with Bush, calling for impeachment, and make it available as a download on the website and a flyer like they did with Bush, so we at the local level could lobby our members of Congress, our neighbors, our local media, etc. And somehow we just had a mail-in ballots, and from last year's mail-in ballots to this year's, there was a hell of a lot more votes, and that's odd considering membership's been dropping, and it went the other way with this resolution that the national leadership did not want to have to carry out, and it's really disappointing. But I really believe had the left, the anti-war left, called for impeachment when Tom Santoni wrote that article, Impeach Obama, it's on globalresearch.ca, in just a week or two after Obama bombed Pakistan, I really believe we could have nipped this thing in the bud. Because if you have a not, and again, this isn't about whether impeachment would happen. This is about a call, public call for it. And
I've interviewed Jeff Blankford and Gilad Osman and some others, and this is very similar to what happened to the Palestinian Solidarity Movement. You see all these George Soros-funded leftist organizations that come in and they talk about the occupation, but they won't talk about aid or the lobby or anything. Those are touch topics.
You got the money in there, and
COINTELPRO.
Yes, I heard Gilad interviewed on Ken O'Keefe's new show the other day. Ken O'Keefe has a new program called the Middle East, and
Gilad asked me to do research for it, but
great.
No, I'm not going to do it. I don't have the time. I have a job in Japan, isn't that? But I mean, wish the best.
Well, anyway, I'd like to put out to the listeners today. To look up their local veteransforpeace.org, look at the mission statement of purpose. It's supposed to be a nonpartisan organization. And if you believe in the statement of purpose, which I think a lot of people do, left and right, help us out, or call their local chapter and say, hey, look, you guys passed a resolution in 2011. Nobody's heard about it. Call a member of Congress and ask them,
people really got to get past the labels,
Yes.
It's kind of party tribalism. It's a psychological thing.
And the same thing with Oath Keepers on the right,
Oh, yeah.
They stay on their side of the fence. And, it's not just the left thing. But the thing about the left is they put themselves out publicly as purpose for being to stop the wars, And they're always asking for your money. Medea Benjamin and Code Pink went to Pakistan, to say, boy, how horrible it is that our country's bombing you every day. They know that already. They're on the receiving end of the bombs. What they should be doing is going to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah, absolutely. They make a big deal out of things they can't change, like the process they're using isn't going to matter. And you see a lot of this. You see this even on NPR and Democracy Now! And stuff, these sort of left-leaning things where they balance a story that isn't balanced. Like if you're going to say the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, for example, they're reported at a one-to-one ratio. When it's not a one-to-one ratio, there might be 50 attacks on one side and one on the other, and they act like it's even keel. Or even Jeremy Scahill, and I admire his work on Blackwater and everything, but he's talking about these drones and stuff in Yemen and in Somalia with the torture dungeons, but the real story there in Somalia and Ethiopia is millions of people have died of starvation, mainly from U.S. aid and this foreign aid, which is actually predatory loans. And Thomas Mountain is a good man to listen to about that. He lives in Eritrea, north of Ethiopia. I mean, millions dead. And this is kind of minutia focusing just on, Northrop Grumman had this bomb in this one place, or they killed Anwar Al-Awlaki's son, which is bad, but you got to say the whole story. And that is just a minor part of it. And they just omit the rest of it.
And if you
and
go
they
to
get people trapped in academic minutia.
And there is a website, usinafrica.com. And I'll tell you, I've been in the organized anti-war movement here. And I stay in it because I believe in the principle and want to stop the war. And I want to, expose the misleadership and get the organizations is back on track to the purpose if I can. And but usinafrica.com. And I'll tell you, man, AFRICOM went in, 2007? And it's been up and running full force under Obama for the past 5 years. You got an African-American president sending troops, many who are African-American.
35 different African nations.
To kill Africans. And,
look how they're propping up Paul Kagame in Rwanda and slaughtering and paying for the M23 movement in the Congo and killing these people. But Got another break. You can hold on if you like. I want to talk about Africa.
Okay. Okay. Right.
This is your host, Ryan Dawson, at least for the next 3 days. I am substituting for Mike Rivero. The number to call in is 800-313-9443. And Phil in Florida, we were just getting into African geopolitics. And are you still there for one? For
me, oh, sure, yes, that one? And I appreciate you letting me stay on. Thank you. I've got a bunch to say.
Yeah, that's how I roll.
Okay. Africa, under AFRICOM, here's the thing. There's a great website, and I want to look up. You say his name is Tom Mellon?
Thomas Mountain.
Mountain. Sorry. Okay.
Yes.
I
have a podcast with him on ancreport.com. I don't even plug my stuff a lot, but that's where I happen to know where it is. And he did a good interview with Scott Horton on the Scott Horton Show. Thomas Mountain is the man, in my opinion, of giving you the blunt facts on African geopolitics, especially in the Horn of Africa and Somalia, Eritrea, Ethiopia, that area. Definitely look him up.
Well, I do also want to mention to the listeners this website, usinafrica.com, and Chris Ernesto out of St. Petersburg, St. Pete for Peace, they're the ones who put this together, and they've had it for a few years now. There's downloadable resources like flyers and stuff. Getting back to the anti-war left, their reasoning, the leadership's reasoning given for not applying the same standard of a public call for impeachment of Obama is they don't want to be affiliated with right-wing racist groups. So that's their reason given for actually practicing racism themselves by having different standards for the same crime based on race.
Well, that's the saddest thing, is that the fear of people calling you names, that someone might accuse you of being racist or whatever, allows people to either be indifferent to racism or to support it. They don't want to oppose war where, you know, thousands of Arabs or Persians might be dying, or Africans are getting killed, or Palestinians, of course. But if someone calls you anti-Semitic, then, yipe, let's run away because he called me a name, so I can't defend these people because I don't want to be called racist. And it's like, it's just, who cares what someone calls you? You're not racist. I mean, you're the one opposing the ethnic cleansing and slaughter. It's beyond racism. It's murder.
But
how the hell can you not oppose murder because someone might call you a name?
And they're
what
brown-skinned people.
What a bunch
people.
Of pansies.
They're brown and black-skinned people, the ones they're supposedly
Even if they weren't, it doesn't matter who it was. Like,
exactly. The hypocrisy is... they're gatekeepers. And that's the way these organizations are.
The ultimate gatekeeper is Noam Chomsky.
Yes, true.
I'm going to talk about that tomorrow because I said at the beginning of the show some topics I wanted to cover. So I do want to get into Gaza and Afghanistan at least. And then I got some good news about Iceland. I'll just tell you real quick. They're throwing 4 different prominent bankers in jail.
In jail.
They're sentenced to jail 5 years for 2 of them, 3 years for 2 others. And I'll be coming across that story. But I'm going to have to let you go because I want to cover some of the things I promised. But thank you for calling, and call back anytime. And I am going to do a lot more on Africa tomorrow too. I have a segment planned out for that. I just got to organize it a little better. And I'll be explaining some of the things that have been going on in Central Africa as well, and in the French and what they're doing. And it's an endless topic, but yeah, it is sad how much the left has hijacked the anti-war movement. When you see all the protests that were there for Bush, and then nothing when Obama not only continued the same wars but made them larger. He tripled the size of the war in Afghanistan, which is utterly disgusting. But thanks, Phil, for your time, and call back anytime. Obama triple the size of the war in Afghanistan. And I want to talk about Afghanistan because I feel like and I'm guilty of this too, and a lot of others put a lot more time into the war in Iraq. I guess it got a lot more attention than the war in Afghanistan. But, I mean, just hours ago, a few hours before this program, six U.S. troops died in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan, unfortunately. And this is a country that America has been at war with since 2001, shortly after 9/11, since October 2001. It's the longest war. It's longer than Vietnam. And you really ought to say Vietnam was Indochina, since they dropped countless munitions on Cambodia and Laos, more than they did on Vietnam, and dropped more on Vietnam than they did on the Nazis. They killed millions of people in Vietnam, but that's not considered a Holocaust because we did it. But the war in Afghanistan has been longer than that. And the government is talking about staying there for another 5 years. I'm not even going to get into how ridiculous we got Osama bin Laden fairy tale is, because I think it's kicking a dead horse, and I think a lot of people on this program probably heard it, and you got it. But suffice to say, even the government finally admits that the boogeyman is dead. So why are we there? And how little does the government even care? And I'll tell you how insignificant American life and the Treasury mean to the psychopaths in the war party who compromise the leadership of the war departments. And that's what I call them, war departments. That's what the Defense Department's original name was, the War Department. And the State Department, these other departments, are just war departments. And, folks, this story is truly disgusting. And I think if Mike Rivera were here today, he would say something like, imagine my lack of shock. Because as revolting as it is, this type of chicken hawk indifference to the cost and suffering in war is so normal that it's no longer surprising, which makes it extra disgusting in my book, that we can't even be shocked by these things. But this is what happened. This is what really happened. Just the other day, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and this is totally under the radar, and I know nobody watches C-SPAN or whatever, but I do. The House Foreign Affairs Committee held a hearing about Afghanistan. It's about time. Been there over a dozen years. This was on December 11th. You can go check it out. And the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Afghanistan was there. His name is Michael DeMont. James F. Dobbins was there. He's the state's special representative to Afghanistan, emphasis on special, and Pakistan. And then there was Donald Sampler, who's the assistant to the administrator of the U.S. Agency for International Development, which you know as USAID. I like that title, assistant to the administrator. It's kind of like Dwight from The Office. He's literally the assistant to the administrator. The main administrator, Ravindra Shah, was the head of USAID, wasn't there, but it really wouldn't have made a difference. So you got all these guys from the State Department and the Pentagon, all these goobers are there before the Congressional Committee to talk about and answer questions about Afghanistan. That is the purpose of this hearing, right? So then Representative Dana Rohrabacher from California, who, by the way, is no white knight himself. He supported the Taliban in the 90s, and I don't want to make this guy look like a good guy, but compared to you'll see what happens. He gets on the mic, and he asked them, oh, we have a break coming. Okay, this gets really disgusting really fast, so I want to tell you about this hearing right after this commercial. Hey, welcome back. This is Ryan Dawson subbing for Mike Rivero, and I have a couple callers, and I'll get to you in just a second. I just want to finish this disgusting quick story on the hearing they had on Afghanistan. And basically, the representative from California got up, and he asked them, how much do we spend annually on Afghanistan? Now, remember, this is a hearing on Afghanistan. That's what they're there. Basic question, how much did we spend on Afghanistan last year? How much does it cost the American taxpayer? And he's met with pure silence.
they're just all looking at each other like, oh, I don't know. Oh, what do you know? Looking for an answer. And none of them knew. And he said, anybody know? Nobody knows the total budget? What we're spending in Afghanistan? It's a hearing on Afghanistan. And we're supposed to believe you guys have a plan that's going to end in a positive way. Holy cow. And then the representative from Virginia jumps in, and you can, I have this whole thing up on my website, Rise to Sense. And then they asked them how many Americans had died, and they didn't know the answer to that either. They're just all looking at each other, dumbfounded. How many casualties were there? None of them knew. All these experts from the Pentagon are there and the State Department, and they're all just looking at each other. We don't know how much it costs, so we don't know how many people died. Why are you even there then? They're there to just make excuses for why they have to be in Afghanistan longer. They don't care how many Americans died because it doesn't matter to them. It's not their kids getting killed. But I'll tell you, 124 Americans died, not including, the year's not even over. They will not be coming home for Christmas. Well, they won't be coming home at all, ever, again. And they spent $88 billion with a B just this year on Afghanistan, only from the Pentagon, and another $4.6 billion from the State Department. Where did that money go? Because when you look at Afghanistan with the dirt roads and the cesspit that it is, it certainly doesn't look like a billion, much less billions have been spent there trying to help the country. Harley, you've been waiting patiently, and Mike, I'll get to you after. Harley in Indiana.
Yeah, look, I just wanted to comment. You were talking how long we were over, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan type thing. You got to remember, Bush stated in his statement after 9/11, his one speech, that it would be a 100 years war.
Yeah, and McCain and company were cheerleading that as well. I remember that.
Yes. So
afterward, they started with that and they backpedaled and said, "Oh, it's going to be a quick war, 6 month war, and the oil revenue for Iraq will pay for it." That's something Wolfowitz said, and of course it was absolutely wrong, and he still ended up being appointed head of the World Bank, and then he gave one of his mistresses a giant salary that was larger than the State Department had.
That's right, but the 100 years is what they figure probably that it will take to totally suppress, you know, the final flame of liberty in the world.
I think, too, the method of war that they're actually aiming for, if you read the ODED Yudin policy papers and things the Pentagon has said, that the desired style of war that they like is perpetual low-level conflict with small arms so that they can justify the arms sales, but it's sort of a low death count, and it's just sort of a slow burning process as they can drag out contracts year after year. Because if you have a decisive victory, the war is over. But if you can do like they did in Vietnam, where they're not even attacking the northern side, they just sit on the defense the whole time and just losing life left and right on all sides, that's the preferred form of war. So they're in Afghanistan with no exit strategy and no plan on how you're supposed to win it, no real objectives, just running around, you know, chasing terrorists, but supposedly,
well,
and getting rid of IEDs. But
for silent wars.
Yeah, well, yeah, and don't forget the all the heroin that's been liberated.
Oh, well, the county I am, they just was talking about how much is in the county. I'm out in the middle of farmland, and there's been two young people here die recently from heroin, and they're talking how it's epidemic in the county.
Well, it's a $64 billion a year industry, almost completely run by the CIA. And this bothers me, too, and I don't do drugs or anything, and I don't care if someone does. Like marijuana or whatever, but they're putting people in cages for weed. And how does the government have any moral authority to put a person in a cage for smoking pot when the CIA is the biggest drug cartel on earth and is routinely giving weapons and money and guns not only to drug dealers and cartels, but also warlords and terrorists? I mean, they murder people all over the world. So how can these murdering psychopaths possibly think they have a moral high ground to stand on to put some teenager in a cage, send a bunch of guys with costumes and guns that they call police to go arrest
people for victimless
crime?
Well, that's the thing, you know, and these people, they go out here and, as you know, they break in people's doors, they shoot the wrong people, it's not even the correct house,
Because all across this nation, I'm sure, because it's around where I am.
Oh, yeah, Jones, 7-year-old, shot in the neck.
Well, yeah, well, they build houses identical, and they've done it for years. You know, a contractor will go in, and he builds the houses, and he'll build 2 or 3, 4 in a row that are identical.
Yeah, you recycle the blueprints and save money.
Well,
but in this particular case, the cops were on one of those stupid TV shows for cops,
well,
and they're showboating for the camera and
the
shot
house.
A little girl.
And they can't see all the houses because of all the trees, so they see a house that looks like the one it's supposed to be, so then they go in there and kill these people.
Well, they shoot people's dogs, they rape people, they've raped people in the police station, they kill people, and they get put on paid leave. And they never, I mean, the cops investigate themselves, and lo and behold, no wrongdoing was done. I mean, they shoot 100 rounds in some unarmed 13-year-old in a pickup truck. I mean, it's just... They've gotten to the point where they've killed babies and gotten away with it.
Well, we had two prosecuted in Lake County, sometime this year, and they got them for taking guns, if I'm correct, the way I understood the newspaper. They got prosecuted for taking guns from you and selling them instead of, putting them wherever they put them.
Well, that the LAPD got in trouble for a similar thing with drugs that were... confiscated, supposedly in the evidence room or whatever, reselling it back on the street selectively.
Yes, well, this was two guys from the SWAT team.
Yeah,
I can see that. On the SWAT team, years ago, they used to come into a fraternity organization type thing that I belong to. They used to come in there on a Wednesday night, maybe they still do, but they would drink and have a meeting in the back room. The SWAT team, all the time. One night, they're sitting in there, and we're sitting around the bar, and we're having a few drinks. And, because they're not in there back in the back room anymore, they're up front having a few drinks. And turns out the one guy, who is kind of like, from the sounds of it, the top dog, he is on leave to the Lake County Sheriff from the United States military, the Army. He is actually in the Army, but he is in charge of communications for the SWAT team and in other words, the go-between, the guy tells him what to do type thing. And he was in the military.
Which is illegal
to
have the military occupying civilians, as they did after Katrina anyway. But there's so much police abuse
across
the country.
In other words, the other SWAT teams all across America have these people that are assigned to them from the military.
They had a judge in Georgia who was pre-signing... warrants, just blank warrants with his name on it, so the cops could just fill in whatever they wanted, and they already had a warrant, and they just went into whatever the hell they wanted.
Yes, well, Indiana has ruled that the police can enter your home anytime they want, even illegally, and you cannot stop them.
It's just like the NSA.
Yes, if you stop them, you are guilty of a crime, and you can be prosecuted, and of course, obviously, shot and tasered, because you resisted their entrance.
I'll tell you who has a great blog about the police is Will Grigg. William Grigg's got a great blog. And, well, I got callers lining up, so I'm sorry. Thanks for calling in. Am I going to take Mike in New York? If you're there. Oh, shoot. Break is coming. Bad timing. Mike, right after the break, I'll have you. And then Larry. And we're back. This is Ryan Dawson subbing for Mike Rivero. I got about a half hour left, and I'll tell you this. I had an idea during the break. Whatever I don't get to now, like I do want to talk about the floods in Gaza. I want to talk about the NSA. I have more in Afghanistan. And what I'll do is I'm going to post the entire hearing about Afghanistan up on whatreallyhappened.com. I'm sure it'll get bumped up on the top page, as well as a video about the floods in Gaza. And then I will talk about them again tomorrow, and I want to get into Pearl Harbor and the spat between Japan and China and a lot of other news. But callers come first, and you've been waiting patiently. Mike, what is on your mind from New York?
My call.
Yes.
First, I admire your work, and I've been following your videos for years. And I heard one of my favorite Ryan Dawson catchphrases a moment ago, and it prompted me to call in, which was, imagine my lack of shock. And
Yeah,
pretty cool. I have two questions for you, Ryan. First, I hear you're putting together a new type of alternative media forum with Bill Still and a few others. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Basically,
and also, let me catch my other question out just to make sure I get it out of the air. I know that you live in Asia, and I was wondering what you had to say about Fukushima and radiation.
I got a lot to say. I'll answer the easier question first. So,
okay.
On my site, my own site, which is ancreport.com, I've had a bunch of sites. All I'm on, like, Rise 2 Cents, and then YouTube, and just all this. And we decided to put them all together under one roof. And then I've got a lot of other great independent journalists, because from doing the podcast, both with Sibel and now on my own site, I've got this great contact list. And some of the individuals, like you mentioned, Bill Still, Jeff Blankford, Grant Smith, like lots of people that you've heard me on the podcast with, have this idea of making a network where to kind of combat the sensationalism that you hear on a lot of the so-called independent media. I'm not going to get into old pointy boots or anything. And, of course, the corporate media. And so I thought, well, why don't we just make our own site and put it all together? And this is very feasible. It will take a little funding, because I have to pay webmasters, and I want to pay these guys and myself, because of time and research and everything. But it's much less expensive to tell the truth than it is to lie. Lying costs a lot of money. The mainstream media has to spend millions to lie to people, but we don't need so much. But anyone out there listening, I can tell you that just from this program alone, there's thousands of listeners. If you went to ancreport.com, there's a little donation button. If you have PayPal or a credit card, if you even donated $2, I could end my donation drive tomorrow, because it doesn't cost that much. But the idea is, and we'll be bringing this in probably before January, that we'll have the Bill Still and many other journalists. I don't want to release the list prematurely, but we're going to have us all under one roof, and it's going to be an amazing independent media network.
It's a great idea.
Podcasts, articles, Pepe Escobar, like a lot of great names, and I'm very excited about it, and it's been a dream of mine since I started this. I started with an AOL Homepage page with 12 people and worked my way up to being on the Jon Stewart Show and the Mike Rivera Show, and this is the direction we're going, and if people can donate a couple bucks, I would really appreciate it, because if you donate early, I'll be able to start paying these people now and get this off the ground and have it up hopefully a little bit after Christmas. And the Fukushima question, if I can answer that in time. Fukushima was a horrible natural disaster. We had both the tsunami, which killed about 20,000 people. The admitted deaths are much lower. They say around 10,000, and there's 10,000 missing. Well, if you've been missing since 2011, for that long, you're dead. And there was a lot of elderly people, and It was just horrible. And then on top of that, of course, you had the Daiichi reactors. There are 6 reactors side by side. And what happened is, in many of them, they were housing the spent fuel rods, which have this ceramic, it's nuclear waste, uranium pellets and things up top, right above where the reactors were. And some of the rods that these are contained in cracked. And the heat from this released hydrogen gas plumes. It burned off the water. They had to constantly recycle the water. And a lot of this water, it's leaking in. The water's getting radioactive material in it. Not to overblow that, it's about the same level of about 76 million bananas. Because I don't want to talk in technical terms, because nobody knows what those numbers are. But a banana is radioactive, barely. Don't be afraid of bananas or anything, but we consume more than 76 million per day, but that's about how much is being placed into the seawater, but it's happening every day. So they think they, with that diluted amount, you're not going to have, radioactive fish or anything like that. But again, this is coming from government, so you can't really trust the numbers. And TEPCO, the Tokyo Electric Power Company, which has been charging that, is all these interlacings with the Inagawa Kai and Yakuza Mafia, and it's just a mess. And you have KEPCO on the other side, the Kansai region, just sort of the western Japan. They had the only reactor that was actually still on, and so a lot of the nuclear power in Japan has been turned off. It's all off now, and they've been forced to buy, ironically, more oil and gas from Iran and other places, and a lot of coal from Canada, and it's it's hurting tourism in Japan, it's hurting the electric price, but still you have this problem of them having to push this water back into the sea because they have to constantly get the water on these rods in this cleanup. And I really think it should take an international effort to clean up Fukushima, but the pride or whatever of Japan, they're not accepting the help that they ought to be taking. And a lot of the people they're hiring, even though it is $100 an hour, who are in these suits and doing it, are still cutting corners. And it's just a major problem. They've scooped up the soil all around, like a 30-mile radius around. You can't go to Fukushima, by the way. You can go to the prefecture. It's like New York, New York. You have a state and a city. But where the plants were, you cannot go there. They're not growing anything there. There are no animals there. All the domesticated animals are just left to die. You can't go back. If you had a home there, tough. You can't get your things, nothing. And the worst part for me, there's been a lot of fear-mongering about how much radiation there is. And
that's what I wanted to know about. Are you scared for your family?
It's bull. Yes, there's radiation. But what they've said is, what they've done is, people have gone around, and I'm not going to say any names, but fear sells. And what they did is they took these maps of the tidal waves, which is very colorful. You've probably seen them, the yellow and orange and red, and it shows, and it conveniently stops at the water because that was the wave chart. And someone went in and photoshopped the wave part off and added a radiation chart. And then another group took an actual, a company from Australia, a legitimate company, and put their seal on it to make it look like they made these readings. And the company came out and said, well, this is ridiculous, it had nothing to do with this. And so they're scaring the hell out of the whole world, acting like radiation was leaking conveniently only eastward toward the United States and all. Never crossed to the other side of Japan, to the Sea of Japan, because it was a map of the waves, and the waves can't go through the country. So it was just showing the rate of the tsunami and the height. That's what those colorful maps with the yellow scribbles and stuff are. It's not the radiation. That is the height of the wave. So calm down. I would not live here. I would not live here if I was not 100% sure that I'm not going to, become an X-Men later from radiation or whatever. It's not. There is zero. I've had people from Germany and other countries come here. I offer them $1,000, which I don't even have, to get a reading, and they came and they took the little Geiger counters and everything. They did readings in Tokyo as well as Osaka, and they couldn't find anything higher than what they found in Europe. They actually found higher readings in Europe, which is basically zero.
That's comforting news.
Yeah, it is. And I really am disgusted by some of the Benjamin Fulford types out here, and the idiots saying they're earthquake machines and stuff. Like, this kind of propaganda hurts independent media, and when you talk about stuff like HAARP and things, you really don't know what you're talking about, and crazy map that you saw on a meme on Facebook or something, and that's your depth of research, you're doing a disservice to everyone else, because I made documentary films about actual conspiracies, but I can back it up, and when you just kind of unquestionably take something because it's scary, and you think, well, the government lies, and so they're scaring everybody, and maybe they're just hiding all the radiation. Like, you can't hide radiation. Like, anybody can come out and with a detector and show you themselves that there's radiation. And I welcome any journalists to come and take readings in Nara or Osaka or Kansai or wherever you want other than Fukushima, and you're just not going to find it because it isn't there.
Okay, pal, thanks for answering my question. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. I'll take Larry and George after the break. Sorry, guys. Hey, we're back. Larry in Washington, are you there? You've been waiting patiently.
Oh, yes, I am. Nice to hear you.
Thanks.
Could you explain to me what's causing all the starfish to die on the West Coast all the way down? The scientist professor at University of Ontario couple of weeks back talked about radiation within the salmon.
I don't know what is killing the starfish or if that's even happening, but I would say if it's radiation, it's not from Fukushima, because you'd have to have everything between there and Japan also getting killed.
Are there any residual readings in Nagasaki and Hiroshima from our murder of the Japanese?
There were, and I don't know if maybe you went to Ground Zero. There could be, but they've built Hiroshima back, and they've rebuilt Nagasaki exactly where it used to be. And there are survivors from the initial blast who still have radiation poisoning who were there in the 40s. But as far as birth defects and cancer rates and people being born today are on par with anywhere, so it doesn't seem to still be there. But I don't know that for a fact, like, because probably you can live there as an adult, but I don't think many people are choosing to have children in these areas. And a lot of people in Fukushima, too, why gamble, right? You know, they can go down to Okinawa or somewhere much further away when people are pregnant to have their babies, because that's who's really the most susceptible to such a reading. But if you were to go take your Geiger counter down there or whatever, I don't know for a fact, but I would assume probably not, because they built a big city there and millions of people live there now. So I would doubt it.
Well, then, what is causing all the birth defects in Iraq if it's not the depleted uranium?
I think the depleted uranium probably is causing birth defects in Iraq. But depleted uranium was dumped all over Iraq in the 90s and then in 2003, very recently. And,
depleted uranium is in our ammunition.
Yeah, the DU is in our ammunition. It's affecting some of our own soldiers who handled it as well.
Yeah.
And DU was also used on Lebanon and in Gaza by the Israelis.
And in Bosnia.
And in Bosnia, that's right.
You have a DVD that you say covers all this from the Korean conflict on?
Yeah, well, I mean, not every single tiny operation, but the big ones, yeah. From about 1950 to 2010 or so, and I already made some movies on the modern thing, so I just deferred to those near the end of it. But, yeah, it's called Decades of Deception. And you can Google that, or my website is ancreport.com, and there's a store button there. But it's there's a version of it on YouTube for free. It doesn't have the background music and stuff, and I updated a few times because I forgot Operation Gladio and like some major things. But yeah, it covers a lot from the Suzanne crisis on through to the Kennedys, the Vietnam War, like the Gulf of Tonkin, like all the major ones, and a lot, and some people had never heard of, and even some things that people did know about, like Operation Northwoods. Usually all they know about it is the hijacked plane scenario, but if you really dig into the other things they were saying and a lot of what they planned for Cuba, it is absolutely shocking and disgusting. And Decades of Deception touches on all of it. Just like a timeline. It's a documentary. It's not a movie, but it's like the movies I make. It's a documentary where I'm just narrating what would happen and show you, you know, clips if I could find the B-roll or live footage from the time period. It got more advanced as it got more modern because it's harder to find things the older they are.
And your website's ANC Report?
That's right.
.com?
.com. ANC is anti-neocon.
Excuse me?
ANC stood for anti-neocon, which is my old site, but this is where I'll be posting everything from now on, and you can get that movie there, and you can watch it on Vimeo or on YouTube. You don't have to get a DVD. The DVD is like a donation to me.
Well,
it is. Well, you can watch it on a DVD player, and it is more updated, but I mean... I'm just letting everyone know it is for free out there, too, the information.
All right, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
George in Texas. Is George there? Did we lose George? I guess so. Well, thank you, Larry. George, if you want to call back in. You can. And for anyone else, the number to call in is 800-313-9443. And you also have the Skype option available as well. Yeah, depleted uranium, I'm glad you brought that up. The DU, I went to some talks here. I'm actually part of an anti-nuclear organization. I'm not against nuclear power scientifically. What I'm against is the way it's not regulated. And that doesn't make me pro-regulation either. I think regulation and deregulation have to be taken case by case. Oh, you're saying George is there?
Yeah, just
George. Oh, hi, George. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't.
Hi,
yeah,
how
go
you
ahead
doing?
Chime in. All right.
Well, you know, the thing is, I kind of noticed with this, when this whole Fukushima started, and when people don't know, when a radioactive core shuts down, whatever, it takes about 6 to 8 months for that radioactive core to cool. That's number one. And number two, I even noticed a lot of Patriot broadcasters, since Fukushima started, they have used this issue to justify their existence. And all of a sudden, everybody's becoming an expert on radiation without really any data to back it up. I kind of noticed that, too.
There's a lot of fear-mongering. A lot of people would be like, you're going to be in the FEMA camps and release a biovirus and wipe out 80% of the population. Send me money.
Well,
you know,
it's
just crazy.
I wanted to go tell off a big radio talk show host. I said, you need to be reading the Holy Bible, then you need to be reading David Rockefeller's memoirs. Because if you read David Rockefeller's memoirs, you're going to go crazy. Besides, the Bible teaches me all I need to know. But but you know, the thing is about the radiation from Fukushima, I talked to a few Russian students in St. Petersburg, and here's a little dirty secret I would say. After Fukushima erupted, the volcanoes in Iceland erupted, and don't they know that the volcanic ash neutralizes and absorbs the radioactive particles? Don't they know
that? There's a volcano in Japan that erupted the same day that was caused from the same earthquake that caused the tsunami.
Yeah.
That's why the heat in the area and the atmosphere had gone up, and people point to that as from the kooky harp stuff. They're like, no, it's a volcano, and it was an earthquake. Folks, I mean, there was an earthquake in New Zealand prior to that and one in Chile. It's part of the Ring of Fire. It was natural. They told me when I first came to Japan to be expecting the big one because it was on that cycle, and it happened just as they predicted. You know, there's no interest in the U.S. to use an earthquake machine in Alaska, which would be to hit an ally. If they had the ability to make earthquakes, there'd be an earthquake in Iran tomorrow. Trust me, it's ridiculous. You cannot make tectonic plates move vertically up and down with radio waves or lasers or anything else. And you can't put nukes down in the trenches in the ocean either without leaving radiation. It would still not blow them up and down. I mean, it amazes me the level of stupidity and ignorance people have about what they think physics and science. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. You are suckers for charlatan, fear-mongering salesmen. That is not to say there isn't radiation from Fukushima, because there is radiation from Fukushima. And the reason I'm trying to point out about the people who are exaggerating is because people hear the most outrageous claim and then throw out the baby with the bathwater and say, oh, well, none of it's true. No, some of it is true. But these charlatans who have over-exaggerated everything have just polluted the issue to where you can barely talk about it. And they did the same thing for 9/11 and many other issues.
Well, you know, the thing is, people don't talk about, and it's like oceanographers notice this, too. They say the underwater volcanic activity is going to, if there's any radiation in the water from Fukushima, it's going to cleanse it. Because I believe the Earth can clean itself. And all this fear-mongering is, you know, short-term environmental damage, but long-term, we're going to be okay.
Well, it's a disaster, and what saddens me is how the government of Japan spent the money. They got all this money. Well, we got a break. It's going to be the end. But I'll just tell you real fast, everybody. Japan spent a lot of money on a lot of prefectures that were not affected by the earthquake for pet projects. It was absolutely disgusting. And I'll see you all guys tomorrow. Same time. We'll talk more about this. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. Check out whatreallyhappened.com. You can get the archives and download the show. Bye, everybody.